And we're back. And we're back, folks. It has been a while since we have talked to you, since Nick and I have talked in this capacity, though we have, obviously Nick and I converse, but in this capacity, feels like it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks since we've recorded, I think, two weeks without episodes.
That's right. And I hope in this time that you have maybe listened to Black voices, that you maybe you've listened to podcasts or maybe watched a few movies. I hope that you've been doing that.
Yeah, I recommended one on Instagram. There's a podcast called Culture Kings. Those guys are really funny, and it's a really good podcast. So I recommend that one.
Sweet. Yeah, so, but, you know, things have maybe cooled down a little. They're not quite as busy as they were. Important things have been going on, but we find time this Friday, we're recording on Friday night, to record something absolutely not important.
Yes, because every once in a while you need an hour of nonsense.
I'm sure we can fill that hour very easily here. This is the Dumb Dudes podcast, after all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in this time, Nick, that has passed, what have you watched, sir?
Okay, so June 15th, Netflix put Avatar The Last Airbender, which is a 15-year-old cartoon, on Netflix, and I had never seen it. And I was like, okay, this has got a real big following. I'm going to check this out, whatever. It's a 15-year-old cartoon. I'll check it out. Ben, I loved it. It's so good. It's better than people even said it was. It's one of my favorite pieces of fiction.
Oh, wow.
I had to watch it. I had to keep watching it because it has so many cliffhangers. And it's one of those things where you like every single character. So anytime one of them was in peril at the end of an episode, I had to keep going until they were out of peril. And I watched the entire series in a week and a half. And then I bought The Legend of Korra on Blu-ray because I needed that immediately. So that got to my house the day I finished Avatar, and I watched the entire four seasons of that in a week.
Wow. How many seasons is the original Avatar?
There's three seasons in Avatar and four seasons of Korra. So I watched seven seasons in 2.5 weeks.
Wow, that is a lot of binging.
Yes. It was a good binge, though. I enjoyed all of it. Plus, Janet Varney is the voice of Korra, and I'm all about that. I watched HBO Max launched, and if anyone's thinking they don't need HBO Max because they have some other form of HBO that doesn't have the Max content, I'm telling you, cancel your other one and get HBO Max. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. I watched the Studio Ghibli movie Spirited Away, which I had never seen a Studio Ghibli movie before. I know you're not a big fan of them. Spirited Away was pretty good, though. It was a very, very pretty movie.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely pretty.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. A lot of cool creature designs in that one, too. I watched some old episodes of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Ah, love it.
You know when you have a really weird sense memory that's triggered by something? So I haven't seen Space Ghost Coast to Coast since probably it was on Cartoon Network in the 90s. So as soon as I heard the theme song... I had the most visceral sense memory of being at my grandma's house, laying on the carpet.
Oh, wow.
And me and my cousin would watch it laying on the carpet at night in front of the TV, and I could like smell the carpet. It was that visceral.
Oh, wow. I love it. That is awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. It just like, it was like a weird zooming rocket of nostalgia. Also on HBO, I watched Lucy in the Sky, which we had talked about. We talked about the trailer a long time ago. And that was the one where Natalie Portman had the questionable Southern accent.
Yes.
I don't know, because literally every Southern person that I know sounds completely different from one another. Like, I've never met two Southern people that sound the same. So as far as I know, every Southern accent is fair game.
Whatever it is, it's good.
Yeah, so... But that was all right. It was probably my least favorite Noah Hawley thing. He's made a lot of really good TV, but the movie was all right. It was about the astronaut that went to kill her boyfriend in the diaper in the Ben Folds song, which I didn't know going in. I also started Infinity Train on HBO Max, which is a Cartoon Network show. It was written by Owen Dennis and created by Owen Dennis, who worked on Regular Show and is a friend of ours. He went to school with our friend Missy. And that's pretty good, too.
I'm trying to say, I don't know if we have an HBO Max login or not. You know, like a mutual login. I'll have to figure that out. I used to have a link to watching all the, for watching all the old Space Ghost Coast to Coast stuff. I wonder if I still have that link somewhere.
Well, it's all there on HBO Max. I watched the Conan O'Brien episode and the one with Joel from Mystery Science Theater.
There's a good one with Jim Carrey where he says, cool, all right. That's a good one. Man, okay. Well, so you're an advocate for HBO Max.
I've been
giving it the thumbs up.
Half the stuff I watched was from HBO Max.
Oh, wow. So I'll tell you actually what I watch the most since we've been gone is live feeds of mostly Seattle and Portland for the protests. I have watched that stuff in an unhealthy way. For that week, the main week of the protest after they first started, I probably stayed up till 2 a.m., past 2 a.m. most nights, and then I actually stayed up later than 4 a.m. on two different nights watching the live feeds and like Twitter and just kind of following it. Not healthy. I'll go ahead and tell you, I was not in a good space.
No, you weren't.
No, we talked. It's kind of in a dark place, sort of angry and despairing at the same time. Have sort of come out of that. I can't just naturally can't stay in that state very long. It's just not me. But taking all that stuff very seriously, and you know, wanted to know what was going on. I mean, we're living in historical times, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of Hamilton quotes are suddenly very applicable to everyday life.
Yeah. So, but stuff I did watch that was just entertainment stuff. I started Have a Good Trip, that movie about psychedelics and whatnot on Netflix.
Yeah, and you put a note in on and you put this on like a couple weeks ago on the, and I've been dying to know what your note here means, because you put didn't finish, and I want to know why.
I didn't finish it because it wasn't as funny as I was hoping it was gonna be.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
No, it's not great. Like I was like, oh, this will be a fun romp and it'll be funny and they'll have funny stories, and like after about, I don't know, maybe 25-30 minutes, I was like, you know, this just isn't funny. I think I'm done. I'd rather watch something else. And I turned it off, and I have not turned it back on.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, then I watched a little bit of that History 101 that's on Netflix. They're little short bites of just history. So that's kind of interesting. You get timelines and stuff. It's pretty palatable, especially they're not very long at all. So you can learn a thing or two from that. So that was good. And then I watched Into the Grand Canyon, which is a Disney Plus Nat Geo movie.
How was that?
That's pretty good. It's about two guys that want to hike the complete length of the Grand Canyon in a year, that do it in sections. They sort of document their trip, and they're like definitely not in shape to do it, so that's
probably more entertaining.
Yeah, so it's just those two guys. It's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of great footage of the canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I've only flown over it. So have you been to
me too. No, I haven't.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I've been to the Badlands of South Dakota, but never the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I'd love to hike. I don't want to hike the whole thing, but there are like sections I'd love to hike. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
So watch that. And then, I watched a lot more social media than I normally consume. I'll tell you that.
I know we both watched the SpaceX launch.
Oh, yeah, we both watched the space live. That was awesome. With my girls. Actually, watched with the whole family, so that was a lot of fun. So that's what we have been watching. But tell us what you've been watching. Anything good? Let us know if you've watched anything good.
Yeah, let us know what's streaming.
What's streaming, folks? And then that brings us to the questions times.
The questions times.
Folks, we got two questions, and one of them is from a listener.
Yeah, friend of the show and probably most consistent questions times answerer, Bridget, sent us a questions times. She said, I thought of a good questions times question if you guys ever find yourself needing one. I watched this really dumb King Kong animated cartoon with my kids, and this one guy lost an eye in a lab accident, and it was replaced with a bionic one. So it made me think about if I had to have one of my body parts replaced with a bionic part, which body part would I prefer? I guess you could pick two, like if it was knees or something. So that was her question, and I know the cartoon, the King Kong cartoon that she's talking about. I have a vague recollection of this.
Really?
Yeah. I can picture it in my head. I can't go anything beyond that, but I can picture the animation style, and I remember the guy with the robot eye. But and for my answer for this is, I straight up want full-on Darth Maul robot legs.
You know, the image that comes to my mind is actually not Darth Maul, but Mojo from X-Men.
Oh, with the skittery spider legs?
Yeah, isn't that kind of what Darth Maul has?
He starts off with some spider legs, and then the Night Sisters give him some... They look like digitigrade legs.
Yeah.
And then he later just gets, like, normal-looking robot legs.
Oh, well, okay. Why would he give up the digigrade?
They got blown up. Kenobi!
Oh, that would be a reason.
Yeah, he got wrecked up pretty good, and then they rebuilt the normal ones.
What would you do if you had robot legs?
Well, I could run really fast, and no one would know that it wasn't really... I was just, like, chilling up there. I was thinking about this today, because I went running earlier today, and it's like 50-something degrees today. So it was really good running weather, because it's not hot, so I can go faster. And I went pretty fast, but I was like, man, I could go faster.
Yeah, you could, with robot legs.
Yes.
So I would pick a adamantium spinal column, or vibranium. I'll take either one. I don't want any back pain. I don't want any back issues. I want to be able to lift weight. I want to even be able to lift things incorrectly. I want to lift with my back and not with my legs. How about that?
Just lift with your back and jerk your spine around as you lift things.
Yeah, I want to be able to wake up in the morning and my back be like, totally fine, adamantium, feeling real good. So that's what I want.
Yeah, because you famously destroyed your back doing, what was it, deadlifts?
That is correct.
Yeah, don't do deadlifts.
Guys, just don't do deadlifts. You think, well, no, that's a great workout. No. It's not worth the risk.
You don't need it.
You don't need it. You don't have to do it. Just do squats or something. Just don't do deadlifts. Not worth it. All right, so that brings us to question number two of the questions times. So in the spirit of the SpaceX launch happening, I wanted to ask a question along those lines. Let's say you get to ride on a SpaceX rocket. They have a custom spacesuit that they make for you because, you know, they are custom made for the astronauts. And so if they custom made you a SpaceX suit, what would you want customized on it? If you could have really anything customized on it, what would you have?
All right, so I definitely would like some neon accent lighting, or maybe like love some it. Red. Yeah, like a black suit with some red lighting, so I'd look like my computer tower. And then I want a Dryden Vos half cape from Solo, and because then I would look like a space, like pirate man.
Yeah, that I'm 100% on these ideas. I love it. First of all, let me just tell you that, Nick. I love capes, and so a half cape, Star Wars cape, yes, into it.
Yes.
Into it. As a matter of fact, we agreed on this earlier before the show.
It's true.
So I want my suit to be a mix of black and purple and pink and blue, and have the 80s retro wave sun on the back, you know, with the lines going through it. I want that. Yeah. And I want the lights on my helmet to be pink. Maybe they can do pink or like a turquoise, so I can have that 80s vibe going even with my flashlights. And I want maybe a Destiny Hunter cape. No, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to go Destiny Hunter cape, and I want the helmet to look like a Destiny Hunter's helmet as well.
They're going to have to play synthwave when they launch us into space. Like, it's going to blast Nightcall as we descend into the atmosphere.
This is what I want. I basically want that 80s Destiny vibe, togetherness, in perfect aesthetic harmony. That aesthetic, Nick.
Indeed.
Man, we would have dope suits, dude. Bro, they should let us do this.
The person who designed the SpaceX suits was the costume designer who made Captain America's suit, I think.
Oh, dang.
And some other movie, too.
That's cool.
But yeah, Ben and I are going to go in looking like Tron, and they're going to send us into space.
I'm not hating on it. I mean, I think people would love it. Let's get kids interested in space, guys. Let's inspire kids.
Yeah, I want more space stuff.
I do too. Space, leaving Earth sounds great right about now.
Exactly. That's where my head's at. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yes. All right, folks. Well, let us know if you have answers to these questions times. Let us know. Take a moment of your time to think through something completely meaningless. and send it
I'll
to
throw
us.
Throw up the questions times on Instagram. I'll use an 80s retro wave photo of Ben and myself.
Perfect. And that brings us to the new trailers. The new trailers. Folks, we have 13 trailers for you. 13 new things that we're gonna talk about. Got a couple in here that really want to see.
Yeah, we're starting to get out of the dregs lands.
Yeah, we really are. And, you know, I don't know where we're at with, like, hey, studios can't record. They can't, you know, get people all in the same place to record. So, like, this is all stuff that has already been recorded. Or are we getting back to where they can actually film stuff? I don't know. I don't know where we are.
Hollywood actually just put out the guidelines today for reopening, for the way that they're going to do it, because they're going to separate people into groups, and actors that have to touch each other are going to be sort of kept away from everyone else, and they'll be COVID testing 3 times a week or something.
Oh, wow.
And they have this really detailed breakdown that they released today. I was reading about it earlier, because they're starting production back up, and like Marvel's restarting production and filming and stuff in July. So WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier and those shows are going to start filming up again. And they're just going to stick to these new guidelines.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just talk about what they got now. This is what they're giving us right now, folks. This is what you can go watch. Well, of course, we'll have all the links like we normally do in the show notes. Yep. The first thing we put on here is The Vast of Night.
Yeah, this is an Amazon Prime original movie that I believe might be available now or pretty soon.
Yeah. This takes place in the 50s?
Yeah, and it has to do with a radio signal that's coming from space, and these kids are young adults who are sort of trying to follow the signal, and it seems to be of an extraterrestrial origin.
Yeah, so we have like old school radio, poodle skirts, you know, the works.
It had sort of a Super 8 vibe to me.
Yeah, it kind of did. I think they were filming at, what do you think, like 120 frames a second or something in this?
I'm not sure if that was just the YouTube link or if that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah, it didn't have a cinematic look to it. It did not.
Yeah, it didn't, but I'm curious if that might just be the trailer, because I might have got it from that bad trailer website.
Guys, you have to be aware of this. When you're on YouTube and you're looking at movie trailers, they're not all the same. Like, some of them can look like a Mentos commercial, but if you look at it on another account, it looks cinematic and normal.
Yeah, I might have got this one from, I think it's Movie Trailers. Well, I don't want to put anyone on blast and be wrong, but there's one of them that's not good, and I might have got this one off there. Well. So. But I'll check. I might check this movie out, because it actually looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, you don't want them to show the aliens.
Yeah, that's the only thing is, like, a movie like this, be like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where you can do a compelling movie about aliens, and it might be more compelling if you don't show them, especially if you're not real great at CGI, and you're like a lower budget Amazon movie probably. So I was just like, maybe don't show them.
What about the ship? Would you want to see the ship?
Yeah, because I want to know if the aliens are there. I want something, and I think the ship would be good, especially if it's like a cool design, maybe a more classic design for a movie like this. That's a period piece, like almost a flying saucer would be cool, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Did you ever see Fire in the Sky?
No, I've always wanted to see that. That's always been something I wanted to watch.
That movie's terrifying.
I should watch it.
I think that movie's terrifying.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that it was scary. I like scary alien movies. There's a movie with Kerry Russell called Dark Skies that I really like. Because they do like an alien movie, but they treat it like a haunted house movie.
You know what movie terrified me as a child was E.T.
My cousin is like petrified of E.T. He's still to this day terrified of E.T.
I haven't watched it in 30 years. I probably would have like PTSD watching it today.
I have to quickly text him because this is like a thing I'm learning. There are people who are afraid of E.T.
Yeah, like the whole thing, like just the whole thing. Him being in the house, them being in the woods at night. There's there's like aliens. I don't know. It's terrifying, bro. It's terrifying.
He's also really scary looking. Like, why?
Yeah.
What is this design?
And like when they're like in the ditch and he's like pale and it's just like, this is grotesque. This is terrifying.
Yeah. Yep. You're not alone in that thought.
Okay. I don't normally talk about my fear of ET. I haven't even thought about it in years, but it's good to know that I'm in good company.
I mean, I get it, and I've seen it, and it's a real phobia that people have.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. And I know they're peaceful, just still don't want any part of it. All right, so then that takes us to the next trailer, which is Four Kids and It.
Yep.
Is this Amazon?
I don't know if this was Amazon or it was some sort of streaming thing. I think it wasn't a theatrical release.
Yeah.
I used to have this book when I was a kid because I liked the cover art. It had like a weird looking creature on it. I don't remember actually ever reading the book, but I remember having the book because I liked the cover art.
So the impression I got from this, I don't think the trailer was cut very well. I think it has a big budget because the special effects are fairly decent in this.
It had Michael Caine in it.
Michael Caine, yeah. The actual It thing was, digitally animated really well. Like the mm-hmm. like something with the text or something. It was just like it felt really low budget.
Yeah, and it did. It really. It seemed like a. Maybe it was like a BBC series or something.
Yeah, maybe so. That would make sense to me.
Because it's a British cast. I think it's a British book. Okay. I know it was made in a movie before. Jess remembered this called The Sand Fairy or something. And there was like an American adaptation called The Sand Fairy. And I think the book was called Five Children and It.
Huh.
But I can still picture the cover art in my head. I know I don't think I read it. I think I just liked it because of the cover.
Is this a true story or is this like a Mandela effect? Like, does it actually exist? The book actually exist?
No, it exists. I could probably find the cover art. I'll find it and show you.
This and the Berenstain Bears. Excuse me, the Berenstain Bears in this universe.
The Berenstain Bears. I was a Berenstain Bears.
In my universe, it was Berenstain.
Yeah, so we're from the same universe. Oh, there's so many book covers for it. I don't know where mine is. I'll find it eventually. Oh, here it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had this because I was like, well, that's kind of cool. But I don't know that I'll watch this.
Yeah, I won't watch this. I also am not going to be making random wishes from some monster that comes up out of the sand. Because my immediate thought is, okay, what kind of monkey's paw shenanigans trickery is this? Because I know the second that I make a wish, with my luck, there's going to be some weird consequence that I'm going to regret. So I'm just not even going to make the wish.
If I've learned anything from cartoons, it's that wishes are always bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Monkey's paw. That's all I'm going to say. Monkey's paw. And I would tell it to its face. I'd be like, look, you little monkey's paw trickster. I'm not playing this game. I'll make my own destiny.
No genie going to mess with us.
No, you can forget it. In The Witcher, that genie, nothing good came of that, right?
No, you're not supposed to mess with the djinn.
Yeah, yeah.
They're angry because they're prisoners.
Yeah.
So the reason they try and trick you is because they don't like being prisoners.
I'm just going to let you go. You ain't even got to give me a wish. I don't want no monkey's paw. So.
Yeah, just Aladdin that genie.
That's Aladdin it. That's exactly right. All right, so that brings us to Darkness Falls, the next trailer, Darkness Falls.
Yes, and this is not affiliated with the 2003 Tooth Fairy Monster movie of the same name.
I do not remember that movie.
It was a movie where I think it was like they hung a witch or something, but it was like the Tooth Fairy or something. But I know it was about the Tooth Fairy, and Emma Caulfield from Buffy was in it, but it wasn't very good. But this isn't related to that. It just has the same name.
Now, this is a movie about Bobby Drake being a cop. The same guy that played Iceman in the original X-Men movies.
Yes, Sean Ashmore.
Sean Ashmore, that's exactly right. And his wife gets killed, I think?
Yeah, there was a couple. I think there was people that were committing suicide, but he doesn't think they were committing suicide because they were all in a high-profile news case before this happened, so he thinks it's like a serial killer type thing.
And then in the trailer, a guy admits to killing his wife. In the trailer.
Yeah. So that might be unrelated to the other ones. It was sort of hard to know where they were going with that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch this.
Probably not. This we'll never hear about this again.
Oh, no. This will not exist, pretty much. Mm-hmm. One of those, for sure. So, moving on. Next up, we have Secret Society of Second Born Royals on Disney+.
This is such a Disney-looking thing. Like, this trailer was so Disney.
Boy, they could not get more Disney than this. And when I was watching it, I thought, well, I'm just going to have to take my two daughters to the tattoo parlor because they're going to want to get this tattooed somewhere on their body. They're going to eat this up, and they're going to watch this multiple times, and I will probably not hear the end of it.
I like that. I like that that's going to happen to you. Because for me, it'll disappear and go into the ether. But for you, this is now a way of life.
This is now a way of life. That's exactly right. Like, this reminds me of that show where the Disney kids of the villains...
The Descendants.
Okay, you're familiar with this. I don't know how many times my children have watched The Descendants, okay? Uncountable. I'm paying those kids royalties from this, okay? That's what's happening. So this looks exactly the same as that, same kind of vibe. You got some people with some powers and whatever. Main character girl in this that does, like, I guess the narration part, she looks sad a lot in this trailer.
Yeah, well, a lot of secondborns are... a little moody, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they were trying to get across. But, yeah, this is... listen, if you've got tweens, they're going to eat this up.
Well, maybe only your secondborn, though. Because maybe the firstborn will feel slighted.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
You only have one super into it.
I would say Disney's smart to make stuff like this. I mean, they know their audience. They know that they love this kind of stuff. And they cater to that, so...
Oh, yeah. Disney Channel is, it's not Disney Channel's first rodeo.
No, they're not as big as they are for nothing. They're no dummies.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's coming up. And then we have a trailer for Vienna and the Phantoms.
Yeah, so Dakota and Elle Fanning pretty much run the world.
Pretty much.
There are three trailers a week that have either one of them in it. It was Elle Fanning for like... a year was in every single trailer, and now Dakota's popping back up.
She's popping, and this is a weird one to be in because this is like all those super low-budget horror movies that we see, the weird filter that they put on it. They put that same filter on this movie, which is seemingly like a big-budget R-rated drama.
I think it was an indie movie, so I don't know if it was a huge budget, but it's got like John Bernthal and Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, I would say most of the budget is definitely going to the actors, right?
Yep. Yeah. You're right, though. The filter, it looked exactly like that Alexandra Daddario horror movie that we talked about a couple of weeks
ago. Yes, that's exactly the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I don't remember what that was called.
Is that called like grindhouse horror? Is that the style?
Yeah, that's what it is. We Summon the Darkness, and it had Alexandra Daddario, and it was exactly the same filter as this movie.
Yeah, this is not for me. I mean, I think if you like sort of band dramas, you'll probably dig this. There's a lot of heavy eyeliner and there's a lot of heavy eye makeup, right?
Yeah, I don't think this was my genre of music.
Is it like, are they like a punk band or something? Or
I think it had to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't use horror movie filters.
Yeah, yeah. So, kind of a strange thing. John Bernthal, though. I like that John Bernthal.
Yeah, he's good. Dakota Fanning can be good, too. Mm-hmm. But like, this one didn't really catch me.
No. Some of you might be into this, but not us. And I thought there was a chance you might, because you like music movies. Like,
I like music movies, but I don't think this is my genre, though.
Yeah. Did you end up watching that movie about the guy that the Beatles disappear and there's only one guy that remembers their music?
Yeah, Yesterday.
Yeah, you saw it. What, just in a nutshell, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was great. Okay.
That's all I need. All right, so moving on, Curon.
Yeah, so this is an Italian movie that's going to be on Netflix.
Netflix is dipping into that Italian bucket, man, pulling some of this stuff out.
They're great. Yeah, this is like the third Italian movie that we've watched the trailer for.
Yeah. So I got to say, as you know, this, the movie, the German movie Dark, let me just say this. The German movie Dark has ruined these European things for me because I hated Dark. And this looks to be similar to that. It's like some weird stuff going on, but it like it looks like it's dragged out, and like it looks like a show where nothing happens. So I don't know that I'm gonna check it out just because I'm so burnt. I got so burnt from Dark.
Yeah, I didn't watch Dark. I had heard various reviews of Dark all across the spectrum, quality-wise, and Kieran. It's some sort of monster. It sort of looked like it was like werewolves or something, but it didn't really say in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of ambiguous. I don't know that I've ever really watched anything Italian. Have you?
I saw a movie called Life is Beautiful that was Italian.
I've seen that, too.
And it was about the Holocaust.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that, too. That was good.
Yeah, that was Buongiorno, Principessa.
That's an Academy Award-winning movie there. All right, so now that brings us to something we got some meat on the bone here, buddy.
Yes.
We have the second trailer for Perry Mason, and boy, does it look good.
Yeah, the teaser trailer was good, but this trailer is great. Matthew Rhys from The Americans as Perry Mason looks really good. Tatiana Maslany is in it as some sort of reverend or something, and she's one of the best actors in the world, in my opinion. We got John Lithgow. Who doesn't love John Lithgow?
God, John Lithgow, man.
Yeah, this looks really well made. It's a period piece. It just looks great. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, this is a period we don't see a whole lot of in movies, which is probably like, this is what, like early 30s, late 20s maybe?
Yeah, it's like noir. They used to do it a lot back in the day, but they don't do enough noir now.
Yeah, they're like driving like Model T type stuff or Model A's or something. But I tell you what, man. This trailer, this is how you cut a dang trailer, man. This trailer is like pretty much pitch perfect.
Yeah, it gives you an idea of the tone of the show. It gives you the characters. It doesn't delve too deeply in where you get sick of it. It was just the right length.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely watching this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It sold me.
Like, and you get a little, they actually give you a little. I really like this. They give you a little of like him getting into like some of the clues of the case. And he's like getting into these cases. And you can see like, okay, this is almost like one of those like Murder, She Wrote, Agatha Christie. Like we're getting into the mystery type stuff. But there's like peril. And you have like a dude falling off a building and stuff. And it's just like, This looks so good, man. The cinematography looks great. It's like the complete package, man.
I'm truly excited for this.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think we're going to, do you remember when this is coming out?
I think it's coming out this year at some point. I don't remember the exact date. It was in the 2020 HBO banner.
Okay. So this year. So that's going to be great. Can't wait for that. And then next up we have Japan Sinks. This is an anime.
Yeah, this is an anime movie. It's not a Ghibli anime movie, but it looks like there's earthquakes or something that are causing the islands in Japan to sink, and sometimes with animes, I always expect something like outlandish or sci-fi elements to things, and then every once in a while, you just see like they just will make an anime that's just a movie. And maybe they want to do it stylized, or they don't want to rely on like CG or bad effects or something, and they want it to be more long lasting. And I think that's a good reason to do animation for something like this. I mean, I'm not a big anime guy, but
me neither. This looked like it had a lot of heart to it, because it's as much as it is about what's happening. That, you know, the entire Japan, all the islands of Japan sinking into the ocean. It, as much as it's about that, it's also about sort of the relationships of the people that are going through this.
Yep.
And so I think in a way, when you said timeless, I'm like, yeah, I think that is, this is a story you could tell 20 years from now and it would be absolutely relevant. It would age perfectly. And so I think it could be really good.
It's one of the things I like about animation is that you can tell a specific story in this medium, and that medium is immortal, unlike live action if you have bad special effects. Because we'll call things like 1997 called and they want their VFX back. But you can't, you don't do that with animation, so it just adds longevity.
Yeah.
To your story sometimes.
Yeah, I often think of when it, sort of in this same vein, like I often think of Finding Nemo versus Shark's Tale. So if you ever watch Shark's Tale, it's filled with like at the moment jokes and like stuff you're only going to get in context if you were in this time period. So like a kid that watches Shark's Tale 15 years from now, they're not going to get any of like the timely jokes. But a kid that watches yep. Finding Nemo 15 years from now will laugh at all the jokes because they have nothing to do with pop culture at the time.
Yeah, that's DreamWorks versus Pixar in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much right. So, I may watch this actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch some more of the Ghibli movies because Spirited Away I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I was going to. Although, I don't know if it was HBO Max or the movie itself, but I watched it in English. I didn't watch the subtitles, and I could barely hear the speaking over the music, and I was not sure if that was because of the transfer onto the streaming service or if it's normally like that.
I don't know.
So if you've watched Spirited Away in English on a different medium than HBO Max, please let me know if you can hear it better.
When I watched it in Japanese subtitles, I don't remember it being like that. I remember being able to hear their voices fine, so...
I bet it was just the transfer.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, so that takes us to Murder Manual, the next trailer, Murder Manual.
Yeah, this has Emilia Clarke in it, who I feel like she shouldn't have to do this.
I was kind of baffled by why she, you were in Star Wars. Like, what are you doing this for? But this looks very British. Is this just like a locally made British thing?
Yeah, I mean, she's done a couple small things. I think she was even in like a Hallmark-type movie, some Christmas movie or something. So I guess maybe she just wanted to do something.
Maybe so.
Chose this.
So this, I think it's 8 different stories, right? So it may be like 8 episodes or something. And I imagine maybe she's just in one of those.
That's probably accurate. I didn't really pick up on that as much. It was hard to tell because she's hardly in the trailer at all.
Right. It's very British looking to me. It looks like a about as British of a horror thing as you can get.
By Jove, good sir, I think you're some sort of monster. Please don't murder me.
Yes.
Stiff upper lip.
I will not be catching this as much as I like Emilia Clarke. Not interested.
I just made me want more Kira from Solo.
Yeah, like seriously, that's... Gosh, we love Solo around here. Don't at us.
This is a Solo podcast.
the Solo sleuths. The Solo... God, I don't even know. The Solo suckers.
I'm not touching that one. I can't think of any.
I'm trying to think of like words for folks that starts with S.
The Solo Simpaticos.
Solo Songsters.
Solo, a podcast story.
There you go. All right, so now we have another piece of meat here.
The Chewy Chums.
The Hopeful Hans. God, we're so stupid. Jeez.
We're very dumb.
This is the worst. We're ruining this podcast here. All right, so...
We've been off for 2 weeks, folks. Our improv game has hurt a little.
Yeah. All right, so next up we have Love, Laugh, Country... God, Love, Laugh. Live, Laugh, Love.
Live, Laugh, Love Country. God, that's the name of the episode.
I feel like I've never made a podcast before. This is like episode 30-something. Jeez Louise. Yep. All right.
I'm going to put that down for the title right now. Live, Laugh, Love Country.
That's it. That is it. I don't know if you guys ever check out the title of each episode, but it's usually something having to do with the episode. So,
yep,
something that we said. All right. So, Lovecraft Country on HBO. Man, another dope trailer for this.
I'm really excited about this. I asked Jess because in this trailer and the one before, you don't have like a real good grasp of what the overall storyline is going to be. And Jess told me that the book is an anthology series.
Okay.
So she said it's six or so different little vignettes, and then they're tied together, especially with the first and the last one. So I wonder if it's going to do the show like that, where like these different groups interact or something. But the creative force behind this is like J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele and a bunch of other people who are definitely know what they're doing, and the effects look good, and it just looks good.
It really does, and it looks like the kind of like strange weirdness, like that's more the tone than like the horror. So yeah. I'm digging this, the Lovecraftian strangeness of it. So I think this looks great, and the acting looks really good too. So
yes,
can't wait, cannot wait. And I don't know a date for this either. Do you?
There wasn't a specific date that I had seen, but I saw August was the target.
Okay.
So we're a couple months out from Lovecraft Country, but this is gonna be a good one. I feel it.
I think so. I trust the people that made it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with this one.
Yeah. All right, so this is a fun one coming up. We had a trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music.
This trailer is great. I love Bill and Ted. I only saw them like in 2019. I had never seen them until 2019, and I watched them both, and I was like, this is so stupid that I just completely love it.
Yeah. It's and this one too, it's like you want to almost, when it first starts out, you're like, gosh, are they trying to force this? Like, is this going to work? And then by the end of the trailer, they're like, you know what? This works. I want this.
It does, yeah. It feels like it's, like, I don't know what prompted this or what the great call for Bill and Ted 3 was. I feel like people as a whole are uncomfortable with duologies and they need trilogies. So that's what, like, let's make everything a trilogy. But I don't know, I'm here for it. Maybe Keanu Reeves just wanted to have fun.
Maybe so. It looks fun. It looks like just a romp, and I want it. It's like the trailer for like was brought a little bit of levity in some heavy times.
Yeah, we can use some levity now and then.
Yes.
'Cause we have to take a lot of stuff very seriously right now.
We do. So. Yeah. I can't be serious all the time. I have to have some comedic relief, you know?
Yep. Otherwise, it festers quietly into a mental illness.
Not a great look.
No.
To do that. Not a great look.
No.
All right. So Bill and Ted Face the Music. We're looking forward to that. And then next up, we have a new trailer for, this has moved to HBO Max, but it's the Doom Patrol show, and this is season 2.
Yes. I am not a big DC guy. Everyone knows that who's listened to this podcast, but I loved season 1 of Doom Patrol. I have it on Blu-ray. It's the weirdest thing ever. It's probably the weirdest superhero thing I've ever seen.
Do you feel like this trailer for season 2 has got the same sort of vibe as the first season?
It definitely has a similar vibe. I'll miss Alan Tudyk, because Alan Tudyk was the bad guy of season 1, and Alan Tudyk is one of my favorite humans in the world, so I'll miss him, but Brendan Fraser is always a welcome sight to me. I love him. And it's hard to know, because I would not have predicted literally anything that happened in season 1, because it's also off the wall. It's like, it's almost surreal sometimes with how weird it is.
Did you like appreciate that you couldn't predict what was going to happen next?
Yeah, that was the main reason that I liked it, because it's so strange that there was nothing about it that was familiar or like cliched or predictable. It was completely unique. Which is always welcome.
I remember the trailer to season 1, and I feel like the tone was way different on this trailer than the first season's trailer. To me, it made it look a lot more appealing than the first season trailer.
I don't remember the first season's trailer. I don't remember watching that, but I watched the show, and it was great.
So that's coming out HBO Max
June 25th.
That's okay. June 20th. So real soon. Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then last trailer number 13. We are both excited about this. I think this looks great. I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan, but I think this looks great. It's the Eurovision.
Yeah, Eurovision. It's like the tale of or the Fire Saga.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
Is the full title? I'll always show up for Will Ferrell. I'm a giant Will Ferrell fan. But he's not always on. He's got his Holmes and Watson movie. That's one of the worst movies ever made. But so he's not. He doesn't always show up. But this looks ridiculous. The bad guy's Dan Stevens. I love Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
We got Rachel McAdams. Rachel McAdams is great. We got these bad accents.
Yes. It looks hilarious. Pierce Brosnan is, that man is more handsome than he needs to be. Like, good grief, I want to age as well as Pierce Brosnan.
Well, you got that silver kind of cool hair already. So.
Yeah, he's got great hair. Both facial hair and hair on top of his head. He's just a very, I wonder if he's a vampire. I mean, he's aged very well.
He looks better now than he did when he was James Bond.
I think so, dude. I think you're exactly right. Yeah, for sure. And then Rachel McAdams looks... I have a huge crush on Rachel McAdams. I think she's great.
She is great.
Ever since Regina George, man. Just huge crush. But she looks great in this. Like, I think this is going to be the best version of Rachel McAdams and Pierce Brosnan, you know, like in this sort of these lighter, funny roles. Like, this is a good place for them. I like them here.
I like it as well, and I also like to see Dan Stevens being really weird. One time at C2E2, I was dressed like Captain America, and I had my hair... I got, like, the perfect hair swoop, you know, the Captain America hair swoop.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Josh Gates, the explorer, the famous explorer Josh Gates from Destination Truth, and he goes, "You look like somebody." And he goes, "Not Captain America." He goes, "The jerk from Downton Abbey." And I was like, "Thank you?" And he's like, "Yeah, the jerk from Downton Abbey. You're not a jerk." Well, you might be a jerk. I don't know you. It was very funny. But then I come to find out he was talking about Dan Stevens. So,
I thought Dan Stevens was great in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I've never seen Downton Abbey, but I was told that I looked like him in Downton Abbey.
I will say I ate up Downton Abbey up until one of the later seasons, I don't know if it was like 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, but something happens to one of the characters and I was just like, I'm out. I don't want to go through this emotional thing. Like, I don't want to go down this road, this storyline. These characters are like near and dear to me and I don't need this particular storyline, so I just peaced out after that. But up until that point, that show is so good.
I've bailed on shows for similar things. It's like, stop torturing people.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I was like, here's a sweet character that, like, we're going to go down the storyline. And, like, I know this kind of stuff happens in real life, and it's horrific, and it's like, you know... I don't want to have to do that. Like, I'm here for the relationships and I don't want something so serious and dark and heavy. Like, I don't want, that's not what I'm here for.
I really liked Dan Stevens in Legion though. Legion is a Noah Hawley show. I was talking about how I like him earlier. And it's so surreal that it's almost impossible to follow because you're following it through the lens of a schizophrenic X-Man, basically, who has powers but is also schizophrenic, so you never can tell what's real by design. But Dan Stevens had so much fun with it, and he just was so weird, and he would go like all the way to 11 on every scene. So I'll follow Dan Stevens. He was also in Lucy in the Sky.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Natalie Portman's husband in that movie.
Okay. Cool. All right, well, that does it for... Oh, no, we have one extra trailer. We have a fan-made One Punch Man trailer, which we'll give you the link for on YouTube.
Yeah, we don't usually put fan-made trailers in here unless we're specifically talking about fan-made trailers, but this one is worth checking out.
It really is. This is actually really well done and actually kind of funny as well. And mm-hmm. we would not post this if it was not, like, pretty good quality and worth watching.
Yeah, these guys... put in the time. Like, they weren't messing around. They put in the effort, and their work deserves to be seen.
That brings us to Trailer Mailer.
You've got mail.
Yes, so this week I didn't remember until we started recording to post the answers from the questions times in the thing, so you're going to have to deal with me reading all the trailer mailers this week.
Deal with it.
First, I wanted to mention that we got a DM from Ben D. Mayo on Instagram, and he said, "Hey, I heard you guys talking about Outlaws on the podcast, and I'd just like you to know that I'm not only familiar with it, but that I still have a copy of it."
Oh, wow.
"The graphics don't really hold up. It's got those horrible 2D sprites and low-res 3D textured environments a la Dark Forces 1. But the music for the game and the cutscenes are top-notch. Gameplay is smooth, and the multiplayer was really fun."
So there are people that remember.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember that at all when we were talking about it, but Ben remembers it. I believe Ben DiMeo, I hope I'm right about this, but I believe he's Bridget's husband. So they basically are running this episode from the Mayo household.
The Mayo Clinic. They're putting on a clinic. The Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, the Mayo Clinic. too bad we already have the perfect episode title. Live, Laugh, Lovecraft.
You're not going to beat that one.
Yeah, Live, Laugh, Lovecraft Country. That's it. Name. And then, okay, so last time, which was a couple weeks ago, we asked the two questions. Number one, if instead of rebooting movies, it became a trend to retell them from a different character's perspective, what film would you want to see retold and from whose point of view? And that was a question we got from Fozzie Bear the Muppet on Reddit. And then number two, we asked if you were a Ben and Jerry's flavor, what would you be, from the Past Gas podcast. So Missy said she agreed Lord of the Rings from Sauron's view. We got a story of good guy Sauron trying to bring unity to the land, giving out gifts to the people, and he gets robbed and murdered. Come back to finish what he started, only to find thieves and usurpers out to destroy him. So tragic. He remembers the kinslaying at Alqualand. I'm not sure how to pronounce some elven words that I've only read. He knows elves can't guide Arda, and the wizards are corruptible. Bridget says, Harry Potter from Fred and George Weasley's perspective. That would be fun, and then seeing how George handled life after Fred dies would be heartbreaking but interesting to see. And number two, she picked Cherry Garcia, which is one of the only ones that I know off the top of my head without looking. And then Ben says, Ben DiMeo, who sent us that message, he says, I think I'd like to see the whole of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as told from Stan Lee's characters' perspectives. Because perhaps blended together or even somehow fused to be the same entity going through different phases, though in some cases he may have to be extremely long-lived. And then his Ben and Jerry's flavor was everything but the, because it doesn't want to make up its mind. I really like that Stan Lee.
That's such a great answer. Idea. Such a fun idea.
Because it works, too, because of the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 one when he's talking to the Watchers.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like an agent of the Watchers.
Yeah.
And then Rob said, I would like to see a Disney Plus series with a small 2-3 episode story arcs that tells you what was happening with different groups between Infinity War and Endgame. Like, how did the Aesir get to Earth? What's going on in Wakanda? What are Wong and the rest of the sorcerers up to? I agree, I would also like to see that, Rob.
Yeah.
And then his answer for the ice cream was, when I go to Culver's, I always get frozen custard with peanut butter, Butterfinger, and butterscotch. It's awesome. So if they could put that in a Ben and Jerry's bucket, that would be nice. Also, I would add pecans if I could. And I felt this answer because Culver's is one of Wisconsin's greatest exports.
We have that export, yeah. Shout out Culver's.
And shout out to Culver's. And I said, Ben and Jerry's could never equal Culver's if you ask me. And he said, agreed. Because I'm a frozen custard guy. I can't even eat ice cream. I only like frozen custard. And then Jay said, Fight Club from the perspective of Tyler Durden, which is funny and also interesting. How would that work? I don't know. I would still watch it, though.
Sure.
And then his second answer was a YouTube link that I can't click on in the Instagram and I forgot to click on in real life. So sorry, Jay, I can't look at your ice cream answer just now, but I'll look at it later. He told me I wouldn't be able to use it anyway, so I'm sure it's inappropriate.
Some nasty. That's nasty.
It leaves it all up to the imagination.
Yeah, well, one can only imagine.
So if you want to get in on these new questions times, I'll be posting them. You can, if you want to email us your answer, you can do that at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at trailerblazerspodcast. That is the most recommended form of interaction because I'm addicted to Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter if you want like new release drop updates because that's the only thing that goes there, @trailer_blazers. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for us to gain traction. And I'm going to throw it to our correspondent in the field, Quick Mickey, to let you know what happens if you rate and review us.
Well, I hadn't been here in a minute, especially yesterday. I'm on the scene now. Still going strong, Nick. Still on the scene. And if you go on Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star rating, that is something that you do out of the kindness of your heart. And I want you to live your life that way. Okay, this is a message from Quig Mickey's heart to your mind. And if you let it go to your heart, then it will be from Quig Mickey's heart to your mind to your heart. And that's the flow. Okay. So, look, treat your fellow man with just kindness. Can we just all be kind to each other? Let's practice kindness. So Quig Mickey tells you that if you want to, you want the truth, love one another. And it's as simple as that, and that's a tip.
Quig Mickey always bringing us back to earth with his grounded wisdom. You can follow him on Instagram at Quig Mickey. He hasn't posted enough lately. Perhaps he'll pick up the slack and post some great stories again.
Yeah, he wanted to let other people have a voice. But his voice is coming back soon enough, don't you worry.
He's got the social media laryngitis. Yeah, so for the Trailer Blazers, I am Nick, and I am going to live, laugh, Lovecraft country.
And I'm Ben Moon, one kid, and no it. It's just me. Actually, I'm one it with three kids. How about that?
Oh, very good.
Happy trousers.
Happy trousers.
And welcome back, folks, to the Video Games.
Yo Games.
One quarter portion of the show where we talk about video games, and we actually have a plethora, a cornucopia of video games to talk about. A
lot of good news in the video game front.
Big news we had, I just want to start this off. We had the PlayStation 5 reveal. We know what it looks like. People say it looks like a router, a Wi-Fi router.
Yep.
But I will say, Nick, if you went in a time machine with the video of the PS5 and showed it to me in 2005, you'd be like, "Hey, in 2020, PlayStation 5's coming out." I'd be like, "Yeah, that I kind of expected that, sure." And then they said, "Well, here's what it looks like." I'd be like, "Yeah, that sounds about right. That's probably what I would expect it to look like." I wouldn't be blown away. I'd be like, "Yeah, that looks futuristic, and I can imagine that in 2020, this is the way things look." Yes. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it does look like a router, but, you know, everybody these days is so cynical about everything so quickly that it's hard for me to tell, because as soon as something comes out, everyone hates how it looks. You know, like the Tesla Cybertruck came out and everyone was like, "This is weird looking." It's like, yes, but do you want, like, to go look at my very boring looking Subaru? Because it looks like nothing. You can't even see it when it's on the street. Like, I want them to make futuristic, weird-looking things. Like, try it out. Let's see what sticks.
I will say there's a new BMW coming out, and I want to say the new BMW's front grille. I think it's the M4 Coupe. It looks real ugly. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like the grille goes from the top to the bottom of the front. It just does not look good. A lot of people don't like it. I don't like it. I usually try not to be reactionary like that, but I do not like it.
I feel like I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because you are pretty prone to give new designs a chance in my experience with you.
Yeah. It.
'Cause I know we both like the Cybertruck for going there.
Yeah, man. It's like, that's like a radical thing. Like, it's really cool. This new BMW, no. No thanks.
But I'll take a PS5 eventually. Like, I want it for that Spider-Man game.
Yeah, the Spider-Man Miles Morales looked real good. A couple other things looked good. Horizon Zero Dawn 2, or whatever they call it, looks good.
Yeah, that one's Horizon Forbidden West.
That's it. Forbidden West looks good. There's a couple of things on there that look good, but I will say, overall, I was really not blown away.
They showed, like, what, almost 15, 20 games?
Yeah, a lot.
And I was interested in just these couple that I put here. So, I never played Horizon Zero Dawn, but Jess played it a ton. Like, she was addicted to that game, so I saw most of it play out. Which is weird that I didn't play it, because it's my genre. It's a stealth. It's a third person. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's so many enemies that it stressed me out when I was playing it, so I didn't proceed. Spider-Man Miles Morales, I'm definitely going to get. I love the Spider-Man game on PS4. I didn't like the DLC because it made you... It kept adding these enemies, and they were all specialty enemies like that would counter all of your attacks, and it would make you fight like 20 of them at once, and it wasn't fun. It was annoying. So I quit the DLC, but I'm... The main game of Miles Morales won't do that, I'm sure.
I'm looking at your list here. That Resident Evil game, they didn't say it was Resident Evil to the very end of that trailer.
Yeah, because it was called, like, Village, and they showed the 8, the V-I-I-I, with the first couple letters of Village, and then it put Resident Evil at the bottom, and then it did the bumper at the end with Chris Redfield.
Yeah, they... Do you remember that Pragmata game? Pragmata? But it's a guy in the spacesuit. Yes. Very Kojima looking.
Yeah. I thought the other one too was Kojima. The Returnals? That looked Kojima-esque too.
Yeah, Returnal. Returnal. That's sort of a weird name, Returnal.
Uh-huh.
That's basically Groundhog Day or Live, Die, Repeat.
That's what Jess said when we were watching it. She's like, "Live, die, repeat the game."
Yeah, that's basically what it looked like. So, and then there's a lot of just weird stuff. I don't even remember half the names of it, but I will say, after seeing all of it, I was like, I don't need this at launch. I don't. The PS4, I needed it at launch. Don't regret it. But this, I don't think I need this at launch.
No, especially because PlayStation has the best exclusives. Yeah. Like, I've always liked the Xbox best. I like the Xbox controller better. I didn't grow up with PlayStation, so the button scheme confuses me and my dumb dude brain. I can never remember which one's square and which one's circle. But they have the best games. Like, I finished God of War, and then I replayed The Last of Us because Last of Us 2 comes out next week. And I'm sort of getting used to the PlayStation 1, and there hasn't been an Xbox game that I've played since, like, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
And that was on every system, so.
Yeah. Well, I will say the Ratchet and Clank game they showed really was a great showcase of the power of the system, because they're, like, jumping through worlds, and there's, like, no load time, and it's in-game, and it was really impressive. And I think, these games look great, but you got to remember, these are the first games for this system. So if you think of the first games that came out on PS4 versus the last games that have come out, there's quite a difference in the way they look.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to get some good-looking games on it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I end up with every console. Like, I always get all of them, so I'll have it at some point. I'll probably get it when that Spider-Man game comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a launch game, do you?
I don't think so. They can't, because it's releasing this year, isn't it? It's like releasing in holiday 2020. Yeah. It can't be that soon.
Where's Knack 3? Aren't they supposed to have Knack 3?
Yeah, Knack 3. That'll come out with Portal 3.
Pretty much. We did have two trailers not related to the PlayStation 5 announcement. We had two trailers, a cinematic trailer for something called Paradise Lost.
Yeah, so this is like a World War II alternate universe game, and it takes place in a post-nuclear Poland.
Winter.
And it looked kind of cool. Yeah, nuclear winter in Poland or something.
Yeah.
That looked cool. It's sort of my aesthetic with, like, weird Nazi scientists and stuff, like Hellboy time setting.
I didn't really...
So I might play that depending on the game.
Yeah, I didn't get a good idea of what the actual game is from this.
No, because it was pretty much just a cinematic teaser trailer. Yeah. So this one's on my radar, but I don't know what to expect.
Sure, and I don't remember the studio that made it either, but we shall see. We had a trailer for a game coming out on PS4 and Xbox One called Fast and Furious something.
Yeah, I think it's based off a series of indie movies that you may not have heard of. You have to be in the know to have heard of them.
So this looks like a mix of two different things. Do you remember the old Spy Hunter games?
I had one of the Spy Hunters for original Xbox.
Yeah. So, I think I played on either that or PS2, but just kind of a straight line car game with weapons and stuff. So it's like that. And then also, I don't know if you guys remember, or if you remember this, Split Second, the game Split Second.
That one I don't remember.
I loved this game. It is one of my favorite racing games ever. So it was a racing game, and you could trigger Hollywood-style events on the track. So you could make an airplane like crash into the track, or make a building fall, or you know, open up a giant ramp and then change. You could completely change the track in the middle of the race, and you had to get so many like boosts, or you had to do different moves to be able to trigger these events. And the music was so good. It's like, if you can go back and play this game, it is absolutely worth it. It's so good. It's called Split Second. So it's a mix. It looked like a mix of that, because there's these like cinematic moments in this game. But at the same time, I was like, is this a cell phone game?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mixture of Spy Hunter and Split Second, but with Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez yammering in your ear the whole time. But yeah, it did sort of look cell phone game.
Do you think they phoned these voiceovers in?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they seemed very phoned in.
I know Michelle Rodriguez phoned hers in.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, I don't know. He might just have one speed.
If you're like super into Fast and Furious, maybe you want this. But I don't know who's gonna buy this. Like 13-year-olds? Not me. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I would say, look, if you really want something like this, just skip this and try to find a way to play Need for Speed Underground 1 or 2.
My friend Kevin's been playing Need for Speed and turning his car into like neon synthwave album covers.
I love that.
Well, it's awesome, and he said he wished there was a way to put like a filter on the game to make the game look like you're driving around in that, and I got hung up on that because I would 100% buy a neon synthwave racing game where you just drive around a city and listen to Nightcall.
Gosh, now you're Nick, now you're doing Inception. Because now I want this.
Uh-huh. Why doesn't that exist? This is the perfect time for that. Like, why isn't that a mode?
I need... Okay, let's hash this out. This is worth talking about. Okay, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a game. We've talked about this before. Endless Ocean. I want a game where I can relax after... I need to unwind. I don't want challenge. I don't want a competition. I don't want to have to, like, react. I want to chill experience, and you're talking about a game where I can cruise in a fully realized city, neon, synth wavy, with that music, that aesthetic. And I don't know, maybe there's loose goals. I don't know. Maybe it's like maybe there's other players in this world, and we're like, we can raid each other's cars, and like there's a lot of customization that goes on. I don't know. Now I want this. I want to relax doing that.
Yeah, me too. I would even play it. It's all about the aesthetic for me.
I'm actually trying to get there in real life. You know, I'm trying to find me a BMW E30, like the 1980s BMW 3 Series. And I want to put a satin black wrap on it. And I want to put like the pink and turquoise lights in it underneath and play synthwave music. I want to put this synthwave sun on the back windshield and all that. Like, I want to do this and just cruise around listening to that music and just... Back when I used to drive for Uber and Lyft, I used to drive around on Friday and Saturday night, and there's like an energy and a vibe on a Friday and Saturday night that when you're cruising around listening, because I would listen to this music, right? And it's just kind of nice. It's just kind of nice.
Yeah, oh, definitely. If I'm driving at night, I have a soundtrack or like a playlist on Spotify that's basically the soundtrack from Drive, and I just put that on and drive around. I can even wear my Drive jacket and do it. I dress like Ryan Gosling from Drive anyway when I'm not locked in my house forever because of COVID.
We talked about this. I'm so sick of wearing pajama pants. I don't want to wear pajama. I'm wearing pajama pants right now, and I don't want to.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to, Nick.
I've only worn pajama pants since March.
I want to wear real clothes, and I want to wear my custom shoes that I have made.
Yeah, I bought these shoes that... were Ryan Gosling's shoes in Drive. They're Stacy Adams Madison boots. They're awesome. They were $140. I bought them for my birthday present to myself, and I want to wear them, and I want to wear them with like real clothes, and I want to go out to places and do things.
I want this too. I've not been out of the house much. I went to some protests right at the beginning on Sunday before the riots. I did go to the beach for a couple of days for like a weekend, and like that's it. I haven't been anywhere else. I work from home. I'm a hermit.
Yeah, same. I mean, I go and run, but that's a solo activity.
Yeah, I go do that too. And I'm in like an extrovert, man. Like
I'm a sort of a mixed, an introverted extrovert.
That's what my wife says.
But I'm recharged though. Like I need to expend, like I expend massive blasts of social energy, and then I need to recharge. But I'm at the charge. I'm at 300%, like Iron Man. Power is at
300%. Well, you know, Dragon Con is still on officially. Like they haven't canceled it. But do you think they're going to cancel Dragon Con?
Well, I don't know. They might not cancel it, but I canceled it. We're not going because Hyatt let us move our reservation to 2021 at no penalty.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to mess around with it. So it's canceled for me.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are of the same mind that even if they don't cancel it, they're not going.
Yeah. This is the perfect year for that to happen because I bought my badge already, but I bought it the day after Dragon Con, so it was the cheapest that it possibly could be.
Yeah.
So at the very worst, I'm out like $80.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I always buy it early too, so I save money. But I don't. I guess I don't. I mean, as long as my Hyatt money transfers over, I'm not too worried because that was the big chunk. But I mean,
they were real cool about it to us.
Oh yeah, they were too for me. I mean, that's totally fine.
So shout out to the Hyatt for not being predatory opportunists.
Yeah, shout out to that legacy room too.
Yes. That is how we live.
I live that legacy life, baby. Never worried about that. All right. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of the show, folks. It's good to be back. We'll try to be weekly again here unless 2020 throws, more animosity our way.
Yeah, hopefully not. I don't want to tempt it, though, so.
Tempt the fates.
Knock on wood.
I'm Ben Moon, and I have my Wi-Fi router-looking video game console, and I'm out. Happy trousers.
And I'm Nick Kelly, and I am Resident Evil 9. Didn't see that one coming, did you? I'm a secret reveal trailer for Resident Evil 9. Happy trailsers.
Happy trails. Our Megadon.